This is the Internet Multicasting Service. Harper Audio presents Rex Harrison and Rachel Roberts in Much Ado About Nothing by William Shakespeare. In this sprightly comedy, a wicked uncle tries to thwart his niece's marriage.
It was not Count John here at supper.
I saw him not.
How tartly that gentleman looks. I never can see him, but I'm heartburned an hour after.
He's of a very melancholy disposition.
He were an excellent man that were made just in the midway between him and Benedick. The one is too like an image and says nothing, and the other too like my lady's eldest son, ever more tactless.
Then half Signor Benedick's tongue in Count John's mouth, and half Count John's melancholy in Signor Benedick's face.
With a good leg and a good foot, uncle, and money enough in his purse. Such a man would win any woman in the world, if he could get her goodwill.
Oh, by my troth, niece, thou wilt never get thee a husband if thou be so shrewd of thy tongue.
The face is too cursed.
Too cursed is more than cursed. I shall lessen God's sending that way. For it is said, God sends a cursed cow short horn, but to a cow too cursed, he sends none.
Oh, so by being too cursed, God will send you no horn?
Just, if he send me no husband. For the which blessing, I am at him upon my knees every morning and evening. Oh, Lord, I could not endure a husband with a beard in his face. I had rather lie in the woolen.
You may light on a husband that hath no beard.
What should I do with him? Dress him in my apparel and make him my waiting gentlewoman? He that hath a beard is more than a youth, and he that hath no beard is less than a man. And he that is more than a youth is not for me. And he that is less than a man, I am not for him. Therefore, I will even take sixpence in earnest of the bearer and lead his apes into hell.
Well, then, go you into hell?
No, but to the gate. And there will the devil meet me, like an old cuckold with horns in his head, and say, get you to heaven, Beatrice, get you to heaven. Here's no place for you maids. So deliver I up my apes and away to St. Peter. For the heavens, he shows me where the bachelor sits, and there live we as merry as the day is long.
Well, I trust you will be ruled by your father.
Yes, it is my cousin's duty to make curtsy and say father as it please you. But yet for all that, cousin, let him be a handsome fellow, or else make another curtsy and say father as it please me.
Well, niece, I hope to see you one day fitted with a husband.
Not till God make men of some other metal than earth. Would it not grieve a woman to be overmastered with a piece of valiant dust? To make an account of her life to a clod of wayward marl? No, uncle, I'll none. Adam's sons are my brethren, and truly I hold it a sin to imagine my kindred.
Daughter, remember what I told you. If the prince do solicit you in that kind, you know your answer.
The fault will be in the music, cousin, if you be not wooed in good time. If the prince be too important, tell him there is measure in everything, and so dance at the answer. For hear me, hero, wooing, wedding, and repenting is as a Scotch jig, a measure, and a syncopate. The first suit is hot and hasty like a Scotch jig, and full of fantastical. A wedding mannerly modest as a measure, full of taste and ancientry. And then comes repentance, and with his bad leg falls into the syncopate, faster and faster till he sinks into his grave.
Cousin, you apprehend passing shrewdly.
Good eye, uncle. I can see a church by daylight.
Now,
farewell, therefore, hero.
Count Claudio?
Yea, the same.
Come.
Will you go with me?
Whither?
Even to the next willow about your own business, County. What fashion will you wear the garland of? About your neck like a usurer's chain, or under your arm like a lieutenant's scarf? You must wear it one way, for the prince hath got your hero.
I wish him joy of her.
Well, that's spoken like an honest drover, so they sell bullocks. Did you think the prince would have served you thus?
I pray you leave me.
Oh, now you strike like the blind man. It was the boy that sold your meat, and you'll beat the post.
If it will not be, I'll leave you.
Lass, poor hurt fowl, now will he creep into sedges. But that my lady Beatrice should know me and not know me? The prince's fool? Ah, it may be I go under that title because I'm merry. Yea, but I'm apt to do myself wrong. I'm not so reputed. It is the base, though bitter, disposition of Beatrice that puts the world into her person and so gives me out. I'll be revenged, as I may.
Now, Signor, where's the Count? Did you see him?
Oh, trust me, Lord, I have played the part of Lady Fame. I found him here, as melancholy as a lodge in a warren. I told him, I think I told him true, that your grace had got the goodwill of this young lady, and I offered him my company to a willow tree. either to make him a garland as being forsaken, or to bind him up a rod as being worthy to be whipped.
To be whipped? What's his fault?
The flat transgression of a schoolboy, who being overjoyed with finding a bird's nest, shows it his companion, and he steals it.
Oh, wilt thou make a trust to transgression? The transgression is in the stealer.
Yet it has not been amiss that the rod has been made, and the garland too. For the garland he might have worn himself, and the rod he might have bestowed on you, who, as I take it, have stolen his bird's nest.
Oh, I will but teach them to sing, and restore them to the owner.
Oh, if their singing answer your saying, by my faith, you say honestly.
Now, the Lady Beatrice hath a quarrel to you. The gentleman that danced with her told her she is much wronged by you.
Oh, she misused me past the endurance of a block. An oak bit with one green leaf on it would have answered her. My very visor began to assume life and scold with her. She told me, not thinking I had been myself, that I was the prince's jester. That I was duller than a great thaw, huddling jest upon jest with such impossible conveyance upon me, that I stood like a man at a mark with the whole army shooting at me. She speaks poniards, and every word stabs. If her breath were as terrible as her terminations, there were no living near her. She would infect to the North Star. I wouldn't marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam had left him before he transgressed. She'd have made Hercules have turned spit, yea, and have cleft his club to make the fire, too. Oh, come, talk not of her. You shall find her the infernal Arte in good apparel. Would to God some scholar would conjure her, for certainly while she is here, a man may live as quiet in hell as in a sanctuary. And people sin upon purpose because they would go thither. So indeed all disquiet, horror, and perturbation follow her.
Look, here she comes.
Will your grace command me any service to the world's end? I will go on the slightest errand now to the Antipodes you can devise to send me on. I will fetch you a toothpicker now from the furthest inch of Asia, bring you the length of Prester John's foot, fetch you a hair of the great Cham's beard, do you any embassies to the pygmies rather than hold 3 words conference with this harpy. For you have no employment for me.
None but to desire your good company.
Oh, God, sir, here's a dish I love, not I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Come, lady, come. You have lost the heart of Senior Benedict.
Indeed, my lord, he lent it me a while, and I gave him use for it. A double heart for his single one. Marry, once before he won it of me, with false dice. Therefore, your grace may well say I have lost it.
Oh, you have put him down, lady, you have put him down.
So I would not he should do me, my lord, lest I should prove the mother of fools. I have brought Count Claudio, whom you sent me to seek.
Why, how now, Count? Wherefore are you sad?
Not sad, my lord.
How then, sick? Neither, my lord.
The Count is neither sad, nor sick, nor merry, nor well. But civil, Count. Civil as an orange, and something of that jealous complexion.
If faith, lady, I think your blazon to be true. Though I'll be sworn, if he be so, his conceit is false. Here, Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair Hero is won. I have broke with her father, and his good will obtained. Name the day of marriage, and God give thee joy.
Count, take of me my daughter, and with her my fortunes. His grace hath made the match, and all grace say amen to it.
Amen.
Speak, Count. 'Tis your cue.
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy.
A little happy.
I will but say how much. Ladies, you are mine. I am yours. I give away myself for you and dote upon the exchange.
Speak, cousin, or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss and let not him speak neither.
Oh, my face, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord, I thank it, poor fool. It keeps on the windy side of care. My cousin tells in his ear that he is in her heart.
And so she doth, cousin.
Good lord, for a lion. Thus goes everyone in the world but I, and I am sunburnt. I may sit in a corner and cry hey-ho for a husband.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I would rather have one of your father's getting. Hath your grace ne'er a brother like you? Your father got excellent husbands, if a maid could come by them.
Will you have me, lady?
No, my lord, unless I might have another for working days. Your grace is too costly to wear every day. But I beseech your grace, pardon me. I was born to speak all mirth and no matter.
Your silence most offends me, and to be merry best becomes you, for out of question you were born in a merry hour.
No, sure, my lord, my mother cried. But then there was a star dance, and under that was I born. Cousin, God give you joy.
And niece, will you look to those things I told you of?
Oh, I cry you mercy, uncle. By your grace's pardon.
By my troth, a pleasant-spirited lady.
There's little of the melancholy element in her, my lord. She's never sad but when she sleeps, and not ever sad then. For I've heard my daughter say she hath often dreamt of unhappiness and waked herself with laughing.
She cannot endure to hear tell of a husband.
Oh, by no means. She mocks all her wooers out of suit.
She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, Lord, my lord. If they were but a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
Now, Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. Time goes on crutches till love have all his rights.
Not till Monday, my dear son, which is hence a just sevennight, and a time too brief too to have all things answer my mind.
Come, you shake the head at so long a breathing. But I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us. I will, in interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Senior Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection the one with the other. I would fain have it a match, and I doubt not but to fashion it if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direction.
My lord, I am for you, though it cost me 10 nights watching.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero?
I will do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
And Benedict is not the unhopefulest husband that I know. Thus far can I place him. He's of a noble strain, of approved valor, and confirmed honesty. Now, I will teach you how to humor your cousin that she shall fall in love with Benedict. And I, with your two helps, will so practice on Benedict that in despite of his quick wit and his queasy stomach, he shall fall in love with Beatrice. If we can do this, Cupid is no longer an archer. His glory shall be ours, for we are the only love gods. Go in with me and I will tell you my drift.
This has been Harper Audio. HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording and has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright laws to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214, or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio is provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly & Associates. Network connectivity for the Internet Multicasting Service is provided by UUNET Technologies and MFS DataNet.